5 minutes.
Your awareness may be powerful enough to control your instincts. Your instinct will be to remove your hand from the box.
It's your girl, Mish, and welcome to another episode of the Love Mish Podcast. Another episode of Love Mish Podcast. So, you know, today is the National American Recognized Holiday of Thanksgiving. As I started my spiritual journey, me and my family, we began to cut back on celebrating holidays. Some so they can do their individual celebrations, and others just looking at things differently, spirituality and seeing the true meaning behind these holidays. For me, especially, it's just me. There's no husband, there's no kids. So I would usually go to my best friend's home for Christmas and Thanksgiving and celebrate with her family. But more so last year, I just kind of felt down and out. I didn't want to celebrate with someone else's family. I wanted to celebrate with my own, but we didn't really celebrate anymore. So it was a weird feeling. And then I was in a relationship, and so I kind of wanted to cook for my partner, and I was upset with my partner. Well, my partner was sending me a message like, hey, I'm with my cousin, and it was late. Like, I'm like, okay, so stay with your cousin then. You know how I get. But I think I was really just jealous of my friend, of how her family would get together. Not really jealous. I think envy is wanting something somebody else have, right? I think jealousy is wanting something for yourself, right? I just wanted the same thing but for myself. So when I would be around my friend and her family, I used to feel so at home. I just loved it. And then it just hit me like, oh my God, this family is together and your family is not. Okay, so then I started to feel sad. And then I put all of that on my partner. Now hindsight is 50-50. Because he was doing what you're supposed to do, spend time with your family. On one end, I was upset because instead of saying, hey, you know, because he already knew my family didn't do Thanksgiving or Christmas. So I'd already expressed that to the best of my communication skills at the time. So instead of him saying, hey, you know what, you can celebrate with me like my best friend did. You see the difference there? My best friend is like, girl, come on. It started this time. You're going to help us cook. You're going to bring something, yada, yada, yada. Like, but instead of him saying that, he's like, hey, I'm with my cousin. And I'm like, well, just stay with your cousin because we already went over this. I wanted you to spend Thanksgiving and Christmas with me. But deep down, I realized that since my family wasn't doing anything, I wanted to do it with him, but essentially, you know, he has a family too, and I wasn't thinking about that. Like, he has a daughter. They're probably going to do things with his daughter and grandma and stuff like that, and then his family may come in town, and they want to do things, and I think there was two ways to look at it. I was jealous because, again, I wanted that for me. My family wasn't doing anything, but then, two, you would think, as somebody's significant other, you'll be like, hey, when you gonna come with us? So I think I kind of realized at that moment that maybe this wasn't the type of relationship that I thought it was. I'm thinking one way and this person is obviously thinking another. So I think it kind of hurt me in that light too. Like, this person is saying all of the right things. They're gonna get married. I wanna have your baby, yada, yada, yada. But the actions aren't really lining up. So I'm good enough to have your baby. You say you want to get married, but no for Thanksgiving and no for Christmas. Like, it just wasn't really adding up. And then, too, I have to give grace because I'm not a parent. So I don't know what those rules are. Do you have to meet the significant other first before you can come in contact with the kids? Like, I just felt like a lot of communication wasn't there. And I'm already an emotional person. And it's just like, you know, whatever. And all I can think of is, if this were me, which is all I have to go by, if I had a child and I'm not with my significant other and my partner comes over, I would, you know, that person should already know that I'm dating this person. We've been kicking it for so long now. So you already should know that who's coming to Thanksgiving and who's coming to Christmas. But hindsight is 50-50. I just can look back and reflect. Like, I really was in a mood last year. Like, everything just kind of, like, hit me. Like, my family's not really together. You know, I don't have a family. No one's really doing the holidays anymore. And it's not really the holiday. It's that getting together. It's that family thing. And once a year is not enough. This is something that I remember our families used to get together. Like, when in my previous, in another relationship I had, I would do Thanksgiving with his family for half the day and my family half the day. And then during the week, we would get together and do game night and stuff like that. It's just like, families aren't really communities anymore. So if you know anybody that is, if you have any loved ones out there, just ask them, like, hey, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? And if they aren't doing anything, ask them if they want to come. Now, my brother and sister-in-law are doing Thanksgiving this year, but to be honest, I could just stay home and watch movies. There's no dark cloud over my head. Like, I'm perfectly fine. But if they, I think they really wanted to do this. That's why they sent out the invite, and I don't mind going. But if I stay home, like, I'm okay. Like, it's not depression. It's not the end of the world. But that's kind of what it felt like. That is what it felt like last year. So if you know anybody, that's just ask them, hey, what you doing for Thanksgiving? And invite them over, because some people's family is dead. Some people's family don't get together, and some people don't have family. And on a day in which community is celebrated, like, nobody should really be alone. Like, that's a problem. However, I wanted this podcast to be more about, I identify as Native American now. We have Cherokee in our family, along with everything else. Poor slaves, you know, they was raped by basically every, you know, ethnic background you can think of. But I can just start with where I am now and work backwards. So my grandmother has Cherokee on her side, and then my granddad has black and white. So, and if you keep going back, of course, we're going to end up in Africa, and of course, Egypt, and of course, God, and everything else. So I'm just working my way backwards and learning my sides of the family. I'm learning Native, and then I'm going to learn the Orisha, and then I'm going to learn Egyptian, and then I'll circle back around to the other religions, because they're really fooling us with color. All is really one, but that's just the path that I'm going to go down. And I was just thinking, like, the government really has us fooled. We celebrate a lot of holidays that were detrimental to a society. You know what I mean? Like, Martin Luther King, you assassinated this man, and you're going to tell us that we're celebrating him in honor, but no, you're celebrating the fact that you killed him. You know, we celebrate all of these memorial military holidays when you sign these people up to go to war to depopulate the world, because let's be honest, men help populate the world. So you send them to war to kill each other, and the women are home not populating as fast. It's brilliant, and I don't think it was happening fast enough, and there hasn't been war in so long. Now they're coming up with COVID to get these numbers back down. It's really a numbers game. And I think the higher the numbers go, the higher the frequencies can go as well. So let's think about that. So 9/11 and, like, all of this stuff is just, like, it's killing people. It's keeping our numbers low because those vibrations will be low. The more people, the higher the vibrations can go. And it can go both ways. But with the way people are waking up and stuff, there's more chances of the vibration getting higher with the more people that, and babies themselves, kids themselves, they have hybrid vibrations already. So that shot is going to have a lot to do with fertility, and I'm just going to keep screaming that from the mountaintops, because I know in my soul, nobody wants to hear me, but, you know, I'll be ready to heal, y'all. I'm learning now. Okay, so me tapping into my Native American heritage, I was like, okay, so we really gave these people, not we, they really were given smallpox blanket, and it wiped out their villages. They really went to war with freaking stones and sticks against steel. You know, that's already an evil fight. They really was selling their land for like $5, being tricked. You know what I mean? They really helped these people learn the land, work the land, grow food and shelter and everything, and then was turned around and raped, basically. And then you want to throw on top of it, Happy Thanksgiving. Not even Native American, but Happy Thanksgiving. The fuck? So I just kind of really feel a way about holidays. I already did a holiday podcast. But now on my spiritual journey, I want to be more with nature. Like, Thanksgiving should not be one day to celebrate. It should be a celebration in all that you do every single day. To end the year with that, it's like God is like, all I done for you and you gave me one day of fucking praise. Like, I think that's a slap in the face. But I found an article from nativehope.org about what does Thanksgiving mean to Native Americans, and I just wanted to share that. There are always two sides to a story. Unfortunately, when it comes to the history of Thanksgiving, generations of Americans have been taught a one-sided history in homes and schools. The dominant culture and historical story has been told from the perspective of the white colonists who landed near Plymouth Rock in Massachusetts in 1620. In this version of the Thanksgiving story, the holiday commemorates the peaceful, friendly meeting of English settlers and the Wampanoag tribe for 3 days of feasting and Thanksgiving in 1621. Every year, new outlets and social medias are abuzz with Thanksgiving themes. There is little coverage of the fact that November is Native American Heritage Month, or that the day after Thanksgiving, known to most as Black Friday, is Native American Heritage Day. The real history of Thanksgiving. The mainstream version of the Thanksgiving story paints a picture of courageous Christian settlers braving the perils of the New World and, with the help of some friendly natives, finding a way to make a new life for themselves. In the days around Thanksgiving, many teachers focus on this happy story, helping students make American Indian headdresses out of construction paper and holding Thanksgiving reenactments in their classroom. Very few teachers realize that construction headdresses and school reenactments create a lump stereotype that Native Americans all wear the same regalia. These school activities also encourage young students to think it is okay to wear culture as a custom. This makes it hard for students to recognize the diversity of Native American tribes and makes students believe it's okay to mimic Native American traditional wear without having an understanding of its spiritual significance. With me being on this spiritual journey, I'm tapping more into spirit with everything, even connecting with my Native American heritage. It's not just, oh, we're Cherokee. I connected with my Native American heritage. You see that spiritual significance? It's like universe is just leading me closer and closer to spirit, and I just love it. And everybody's journey is going to be different. This just happens to be mine. I'm going to continue. Very few teachers get a chance to tell students about the massacre of Native tribes like the Pequot. And that took place the years that followed. They also do not mention the English settlers robbed Wampanoag graves and stole food from them in order to survive during the first years of this new continent. Here's a look at some of the reasons why Thanksgiving is a complex holiday and one that all Americans should approach with greater sensitivity. Why Thanksgiving is also a national day of mourning. It's important to know that for many Native Americans, Thanksgiving is a day of mourning and protest, since it commemorates the arrival of settlers in North America and the centuries of oppression and genocide that followed. Organized by the United American Indians of New England in 1970, the fourth Thursday in November, Thanksgiving is recognized as the National Day of Mourning for Native Americans and their allies. Many people gather at Coles Hill in Plymouth for an organized rally and day of mourning on Thanksgiving. Here's what they have to say about this choice to mourn. Thanksgiving Day is a reminder of the genocide of millions of Native people, the theft of Native lands, and the relentless assault on Native culture. Participants in National Day of Mourning honor Native ancestors and the struggles of Native peoples to survive today. It is a day of remembrance and spiritual connection, as well as a protest of the racism and oppression which Native Americans continue to experience. Some Native Americans mourn publicly and openly, while some simply refrain from participating in this national holiday. Thanksgiving is already a way of life for Native Americans. While some Native Americans have chosen to reject the Thanksgiving holiday entirely, many embrace the positive message of the holiday and choose to put aside thoughts about the complex history of this day. This is because of the idea of giving thanks is central to Native heritage and culture, and in this way, Thanksgiving is simply a chance to appreciate the good things of life, like family, community, and riches of the land. Long before settlers arrived, Native tribes were celebrating the autumn harvest and the gift of Mother Earth's abundance. My niece had called me. Native American spirituality, both traditionally and today, emphasizes gratitude for creation, care for the environment, and recognition of the human need for communion with nature and others. Thanksgiving as a holiday originates from the Native American philosophy of giving without accepting anything in return. In the first celebration of this holiday, the Wampanoag tribe not only provided the food for the feast, but also the teachings of agriculture and hunting. Corn, beans, wild rice, and turkey are some specific examples of foods introduced by Native Americans. Now, regardless of the origin of the day, many Native Americans will gather with friends and family and use the day to eat good food. Many of the classic Thanksgiving dishes are inspired by indigenous foods and give thanks. Stephen Peters, a Wampanoag tribe spokesman, was asked about his views on Thanksgiving and the fact that most people still gather to eat turkey and give thanks. Here's what he had to say. I think it's great. My ancestors had four harvest festivals throughout the year, gathering with family, enjoying our company, sharing our blessings, and giving thanks for all that we have is a good thing. I say have more Thanksgiving events throughout the year. I also ask that you take a moment in that day to remember what happened to my people and the history as it was recorded and not the narrative that we have been given in the history books. This Thanksgiving, join us in remembrance. Here at Native Hope, we hope that this Thanksgiving, the hearts of all people, Native and non-Native, are filled with hope, healing, and desires to dismantle the barriers, physical, economic, educational, psychological, and spiritual, that divide us and oppress us. This time of year and these two holidays, Thanksgiving and Native American Heritage Day, gives us the opportunity to reflect on our collective history and to celebrate the beauty, strength, and resilience of the Native tribes of North America. We remember the generosity of the Wampanoag tribes to the helpless settlers. We remember the hundreds of thousands of Native Americans who lost their lives at the hands of colonists and the genocide of whole tribes. We remember the vibrant and powerful Native descendants, families, and communities that persist to this day throughout the culture and the country. We remember people like Cherise Davis and Interior Secretary Deborah Hyland, who became the first Native American women to serve as Cabinet Secretary. And last but not least, we remember all of the friends and family of Native Hope who have embraced our mission of healing and storytelling. We give thanks to you and we support you. I thought that was beautiful. I also was wondering, okay, so what are the Native holidays? And some holidays came up that I may begin to incorporate in my life, but as I go through the list, just know they really focus on nature and spirit. And when you look at American holidays, none of them are about God. I mean, the pastors have to tell you that Christmas is about giving gifts to Jesus, but they give us Santa Claus. That's not God. They give us Halloween. That's not God. They give us St. Patrick's Day. That's not God. Like, everything that we do, none of our holidays are for God. They're all, like, even celebrating, like, Veterans Day and Martin Luther King and stuff like that, they're commemorating chaos. They're celebrating chaos in the background, but they're telling you that they're mourning. Oh, we remember. Oh, we're mourning. Oh, we celebrate them for what they've done. You celebrate people for what they've done while they're alive, okay? But I don't know. It's just like I feel like they're real tricky with these holidays. Okay, so here are the holidays. The links are in the descriptive. Native American or Indian celebrations. January, the history of the Hopi Bean Sprout Festival. The Powwamu Festival is a midwinter ceremony and also called the Bean Planting Festival. It is observed in late January or early February. Now look how wise that is. It's reminding the people, plant your beans. Your beans about to sprout. Okay, the history of the Iroquois Midwinter Ceremony. The Iroquois Midwinter Ceremony is held in either January or February, when the Dipper constellation, not our teddy bear one in the cartoon, appears in the sky directly overhead. You then wait for the new moon to be seen. This is when the spiritual year begins. Spirit again. You then wait 5 days after the new moon to begin the ceremony. February. History of the Kawati Midwinter Ceremony. The winter ceremony season is when they acknowledge and reaffirm their connection with the supernatural world. The history of the, see again, supernatural, the history of the Achabashkin stick dance. The stick dance is named after the spruce pole. When in the central symbol in this ceremony, the purpose of this ceremony is to help mourn the male members of the tribe who have died and give comfort and support to the grieving family members. Beautiful. The history of the Navajo mountain chant. This observant marks the seasonal transition. It happens at the end of the thunderstorm, but before the spring wind comes. The Navajo believe that if the ceremony was held at the other time, it would result in death from lightning or a snake bite. We're in April now. The history of the Yaqui Easter ceremony. It is celebrated in the state of Arizona in the United States and in the country of Mexico. The ceremony ends on Easter Sunday. The name of this festival comes from the Yaqui Indians now living in the Tucson and Phoenix, Arizona area that are descendants of the original tribe that lived near the Yaqui River. The history of the Utique Bear Dance. The purpose of this dance is for mating and courtship. The second purpose is to celebrate the arrival of spring as well as an opportunity to get together and celebrate. The history of the Green Corn Dance. The green corn ceremony is held several weeks before the main harvest when the corn is nearly ripe. The ceremony was considered their animal rite of renewal and purification and was dedicated to the god who controlled the growth of corn and mezi. June. Sun Dance History. The sun dance is a ceremony of healing. Not everyone does a sun dance. You have to have a reason and pray with your heart. This is also a controversial topic for many. The history of the Nima Kachina. The origin of this ceremony goes back to the Kachins, who are their ancestral spirits. The Hopis believe that the spirits leave their home in the mountains and for 6 months visit the tribe, bringing health to the Hopi and rain to the crops. The Apache Girls Sunrise Ceremony. The Apache Girls Sunrise Ceremony is celebrated for 4 days in July in Arizona and New Mexico to celebrate the coming of age of young Apache women. Beautiful. History of the World. Eskimo Winter Olympics. Alaskans have always had a tradition of occasionally getting together to play games. The games were meant to test certain qualities needed to survive in harsh climates that they lived in, where hunting food was necessary no matter how extreme the weather. Although the title is Winter Olympics, they are held in July. August, the history of the Crow Fair Powwow. The Crow Fair dates back to 1904 and takes place every year on the third weekend in August in an area south of Billings, Montana. Tribes come from all over. It's called the Teepee Capital of the World during the fair. History of the Eagle Dance. Native Americans have traditionally performed the Eagle Dance when divine intervention was needed for rain, believing the eagle would carry up the quest of the gods. History of the Hopi Flute Ceremony. The purpose of the flute ceremony is to encourage rainfall and promote the growth of corn, which is the primary food of the Hopi Nation. History of the Hopi Snake Dance. It is held every 2 years. Many believe the snake dance worships snakes. That's not true. The entire ceremony is to worship Hopi ancestors and help bring rain. So misunderstood. September. History of the Miyawak, a corn festival. The Miwok would celebrate the corn harvest each year at a tribal gathering called the Big Time. Families from widely scattered Miwok villages came together for this harvest activity and share the fruits, chats, and exchange information, supplies, and news. They will also perform ceremonial dances. October, no observances that we know of. November, history of the Navajo night chant ceremony. This is the most sacred of all Navajo ceremonies. It is also the most technically difficult and demanding to learn. This is because it involves memorizing literally hundreds of songs, dozens of prayers, and several very complicated and intricate sand dances. In spite of this, the demand of night chants remain great, and as many as 50 ceremonies might be held during one season, which lasts 18 to 20 weeks. Do you see that? Sand paintings. our people was putting sigils in the ground. They was singing and dancing, raising the frequency, connected with spirit. History of the Shaliko ceremony. The Shaliko, who believed to have first at Zuni around 1840, retraced the wanderings of the Zunis from the center earth to the modern Pueblo, with the water spider as their representation. The Shaliko are the gods' messengers and run back and forth all year long, carrying messages as well as bringing moisture and rain when needed. When they leave, they also carry the Zuni's prayer for rain with them. History of the Wachu ceremony. The purpose of the Wachu is to mark the beginning of the new ceremonial year in the Hopi calendar. In other words, this is like the Hopi New Year celebration in December. The history of the Hopi Salumi ceremony. It is a ceremony related to the sun as it relates to the winter solstice. It is one of the Hopi's most sacred ceremonies and is also called the prayer offering ceremony, because it is a time for saying prayers for the new year and for wishing each other prosperity and health. And so that link is below as well. So not even Native American and Indians, but African cultures, they dance and they're more spiritual. A lot of cultures are spiritual. Even though in America they say, you know, Christian is spiritual, like there were Christian crusades where they was running around killing people in the name of God. Like, I think they were like twisting the word of God for their mass murders. Like, they've been doing this. And you know, if they were so Christian and so godly and so loving, why are there homeless people? You know, why don't they have little pods already? Why don't they have running water and a place to wash their ass? It's like they the ones that collect tithe every week. Like, what are you doing? I think instead of like, Jesus didn't have no home, and him and his disciples were at the mercy of the towns that they visit. You know, they slept with someone, they ate the food of the town that they were in. You know, they didn't set up shop and put an ATM in there and collect money. And you know, they did everything from their heart, from their soul, from the heart chakra, from love, to show the love of God. And I just feel like, well, we already know America is a business. That's why we have presidents. And when I do the podcast on Reza Islam's book, I'll explain a little bit more. But when I started my business, I had to put down, like, who was I? And I put down CEO, and the man was like, no, you have to refile. You can't put CEO. You have to do president. And I'm like, president? Wow. America is a motherfucking business. Literally. So, just, you know, try to stay grounded and spiritual in all that you do. And even if you do celebrate Thanksgiving, you know, remember that there are some people mourning, there are some people alone, and try to do it more. Don't wait all year just to get with family and friends. See if you can do dinner, you know, each week or once a month or something. Don't wait till the end of the year. Like, how many people didn't make it to this year's Thanksgiving? But if y'all would have had like a weekly or a monthly dinner, you would have more memories with that person. So I don't know, just my little 2 cents on Thanksgiving as I celebrate the Native way. I'll catch y'all on the next episode. Thanks a million for listening. There's a million podcasts in the world. You clicked on this one, little old this one, to hear what I have to say. I hope universe has a special message for you. You can reach me on Linktree at /love.mish. I hope you have a better than great day. Love ya. Talk to you later.
Us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet, I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction. And all you can talk about is money. Fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?